The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
Eklund with a shot. He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide. Morning Tide.
Tyler Toffoli on a brilliant feed from William Eklund. Macklin Severini, his first National Hockey League hat trick. Smith shoots. Score! Will Smith just tied the game!
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Dumped ahead by Colorado. Is this going to be icing? Nope, doesn't look like it. Back to get it now is Wennberg. He skates away from Natchez with speed. Lead pass Kurashev down the left. Cross the line, tees up, shoots. He scores! Philip Kurashev wins it in overtime for the San Jose Sharks. At 1:48, what a shot, what a game. For the second consecutive contest, the Sharks have defeated one of the best teams in the NHL. And this one is Philip Kurashev's day. Final score, Sharks 3, Avalanche 2 in overtime.
Yeah, just kind of looked up and tried to hit the spot, and I did, and I'm happy about that, and happy to help us get the win today.
Yeah, we're getting better. We're learning lessons as we go, like I kind of harped on here a little bit lately, so done some really good things. I liked our third period a lot.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome as we are waking up winners once again for the third time in the last four games, and maybe more importantly, four times in the last seven games overall. The San Jose Sharks have been able to find a way to win. Yesterday, when you go down 30 seconds into a game to a team like the Colorado Avalanche, I think in years prior, that's a game that you get rocked. That's a game where you just get absolutely smashed. But this Sharks team, as they exhibit growth, are learning how to win, are learning how to handle games. And contrary to what we saw in the first two games of the year when they found ways to lose against both Vegas and Anaheim, these last two games and these last three out of four, they've been finding ways to win. And I don't think that means that the Sharks are suddenly going to turn a corner and be a playoff team. I would love it if they end up being so, but I'm not ready to go there just yet. But what we're seeing is this team is figuring out ways to win games where everything does not go their way. Like I said, you go down 30 seconds into the game, it's a 1-0 deficit against the Avs, even if they are on the second night of a back-to-back. That generally does not bode well for any team because the Avalanche are a team that can absolutely jump on you and punish you with goals. The Sharks beat the Devils convincingly 5-2 the other night. The Avs beat the Devils 8-4 on Tuesday night this week. That is a smashing of a really, really good team. And Colorado is a really, really good team. But let's look at the standings right now. The San Jose Sharks are 2 points back of Vancouver, 3 points back of Anaheim, 4 points back of the Kings and the Kraken, and 5 points back of Edmonton and Vegas. That's not otherwise terrible, I think, if we're going to be honest. And they have got a tie for the best winning streak in the Pacific Division right now at 2 games in a row. So those are impressive things to see from the Sharks. I don't care if it's early. I don't care if it is however you want to qualify it. I'm just saying that the San Jose Sharks have been playing better hockey. They are 4 points better than Calgary right now. They are 2 points better than the Blues. So those are things that I'm going to look at and be pleased with. Why should we not be able to celebrate the San Jose Sharks not being at the bottom of the NHL? I'm personally going to look at it that way and say, you know what? This team is having fun. They are finding ways to win, and they're finding different ways to have guys step up in the moments. And I think that, you know, we've looked at the last couple of games. It's not just been Macklin Celebrini going off or Will Smith going off or having some sort of electric performance. Yes, we did see Macklin Celebrini score a goal yesterday, but yesterday the star was Philip Kurashev. You know, the new Curry in the Bay Area, as I'm calling him, but he had 2 goals, one of which was the overtime game winner that you heard coming in. Tyler Toffoli had an assist. John Klingberg had an assist. Alex Wennberg in that line of his, obviously, with Kurashev, have stayed hot. Ty Dellandrea had an assist. Shakir Mukhmudulin, who I think it's no surprise that he stepped back up into the lineup after being down injured. The Sharks have only given up 4 goals in the last 2 games. you know, he had an assist in this game. Macklin Celebrini had an absolute monster of a goal. And Yaroslav Askarov, let's not overlook his performance as he made 36 saves. Neither of the goals that went in, I think you can say, were on him. And the Sharks are finding ways to win. Also, the Sharks, they won the battle on faceoffs. They won 34 versus 33 to the opposition, 51-49. That is something you like to see. Neither team scored on the power play. Sharks were 0 for 3. The Avs were 0 for 2. They out-hit the Avs 16-13. Blocked shots went in favor of the Avs 14-10. But everything that the Sharks did yesterday, even if it was not their best performance, they did not shoot themselves in the foot, even though they went down 30 seconds into the game. They saw themselves quickly regathered, and they were able to put forth a really, really high-quality performance. You know, you get that goal that goes in, and suddenly you're thinking to yourself, uh-oh, where is this game going to go? You're down 1-0 through the entirety of the period, and then Macklin Celebrini is able to find that goal late in the first, and that's another late-period goal for Macklin Celebrini, and I think that speaks to how superior his conditioning is. And one of the things that was really wild yesterday was that when I'm used to watching Nathan MacKinnon come to town, like that's something that I'm going to pay attention to is, you know, how he moves on the ice. Macklin Celebrini was the more active player of the two, in my opinion. Macklin Celebrini, even though he does not have the straight line speed of a Nathan MacKinnon, his burst is so impressive. And Macklin has the ability to be everywhere all at once. And I'm not trying to say that Macklin Celebrini is better than Nathan MacKinnon because it's too early in his career for me to be doing anything like that. However, it's hard to not watch that game and see the unbelievable potential that Macklin Celebrini shows every single time that he is on the ice. And late in that game, Macklin Celebrini was doing everything he could to win it. He was everywhere. He was ripping shots. And, you know, as we get deeper into his career, he is going to bury those shots. He's going to find a way to win the game. That is what superstar players do. He was taking over that game. He was trying to find a way, just as he did in the game against the Islanders when the Sharks were not able to find a win, but they were able to find their way into a competitive loss that led, in my opinion, into the win against the Rangers. It was Macklin Celebrini taking over the game. And then Macklin Celebrini showed what he could do that next night against the Rangers. And then obviously they had a very tight loss against New Jersey, which they were able to avenge 2 games ago. And then it led into that Macklin Celebrini overtime winner against Minnesota. And, you know, the Sharks did not have a great game, at least a great start in that game against LA, but they fought their way back into it and really should have, you know, walked away with at least a point out of that game because they severely outplayed LA. I think they outshot them 40-14 on the final scoreline. You know, then they get that Thursday night win, which was very impressive against New Jersey. And now they've got yet another win under their belt. And you can see the momentum has been rolling. And not to put this all on Macklin Celebrini, because there's obviously more than just one successful player on the Sharks right now. But you can see why everybody talks about Macklin Celebrini being the future captain of this team. Because as he has gotten more and more locked in and gotten into the flow of things with this NHL season, he has found the team around him getting more locked in. And I think that Macklin Celebrini presents such a problem that that's going to allow for more opportunities for everyone out there on the ice. But, you know, we've got to look at what we saw from Nathan MacKinnon and his line. You know, they were going up against Philip Kurashev and Alexander Wennberg and William Eklund, and they did a really good job of being able to keep them in check and not letting them get out in front of that game and really do, you know, damaging things out there on the ice. You know, there was that one weird goal. Okay, that's how it goes. But for the most part, I thought that the San Jose Sharks second line handled things very well. And defensive structure, active sticks. You know, there were a number of times yesterday where the Sharks, and I got to give credit to the advanced scouting and, you know, video review, but the way that they were consistently breaking up passes into the slot, it looked like they were never really caught off guard, except for that one, you know, goal that went in 30 seconds into the game where it went off Liljegren. And I don't even know if they were caught off guard. That could have just been a bad bounce. But, you know, you don't see that happening that consistently previously against the Avalanche, where the Sharks consistently were able to break up passes into the slot and they had a man there ready and waiting. That is the type of growth that I'm trying to see. And again, the Sharks seem to pick up their physicality. We're going to talk to Patrick Giles in a little bit because I was able to chat with him after the game. But, you know, he has gotten into the lineup. He is big. He's fast. He's strong. His physicality has been a very, very positive thing out there in these last 2 games. I'm not giving him all the credit for the 2 wins, but he has been able to provide, you know, something on that fourth line for San Jose. He's been physical. He's been active. He's been able to get a shot off. And those are things that we're waiting and hoping to see more of from these young players, taking advantage of their opportunities. And I think about how there's not very much pressure on Patrick Giles compared to what we've seen from, say, Will Smith early in his career, from Michael Mesa early in this season. Same thing with Sam Dickinson. Yesterday, both Will Smith and Michael Mesa turned away from what looked like clear opportunities where they should have had the shot. Patrick Giles, a couple opportunities yesterday, no hesitation at all. And again, that's because, you know, he's not expected to be the guy who's going to score. He's not worried about his job. He's just trying to take advantage of the situation. I think Will Smith, maybe it might be in the back of his mind a little bit that he was, you know, bumped down a line earlier in this year, or Michael Mesa, he's wondering about playing a perfect game because he has to try and prove that he's going to be here to stay. But Patrick Giles did not do that yesterday. When he had an opportunity to take a shot short side on a severe angle, he did so. And I love to see that. I love to see that lack of hesitation from a younger player. Obviously, we're going to wait and see if that decision is going to come today for Sam Dickinson, if he's going to play in his 10th game. And I think that decision might be, you know, hastened by the fact that Timothy Liljegren got hit up high on the bench. That was a scary moment. I like Tim Liljegren a lot. I've been able to do a lot of interviews with him since he's come to the team. He's come out to some Earthquakes games that I've been able to see him at, and I'm a big fan of all the Swedish dudes in general, but I like his game, and his game had been trending in the right direction. And obviously I get bummed when anybody gets hurt, but that's just a scary moment. Some people were saying that he got hit in the throat. I never saw a replay of it. Obviously I get flashbacks, PTSD of what happened to Vitek Vanacek last year. And Vitek, you know, I had a really good rapport with him early on last year. Great interviews. You know, he was playing some good hockey, and then he gets the concussion earlier in the year. That's what we thought it was, where he got hit up high behind the net. I want to say that that may have been a collision with Mark-Edward Vlasic. I forget, but that was a scary moment. And then he got hit by a puck along the glass and missed some time. I mean, those are freak occurrences in the game, but they're scary because we know that, you know, anything above the shoulders, there is a real high risk of something going much more wrong than it initially looked like. Thankfully, after the game, they said it was not anything too severe. Easy for us to say. We weren't the one who took a puck to the face or the throat or wherever it was. But, you know, he was down for a few minutes and had to be helped off the bench and down the tunnel. So that's never a good sign. So hopefully we'll get an update on that later this morning. But, you know, those are all the things where suddenly you're down a D-man and you've got to roll your lines, your pairings a little bit more. You've got to step things up. You've got to get guys going in the right direction. You know, Skinner took a couple of nasty falls yesterday, and I was thinking, uh-oh, I've liked his game a lot. I don't want to see him out of the lineup any more than I have to. Those are the things you pay attention to, because in the midst of things going right, all it takes is one play for things to go awry. But again, the Sharks managed situations yesterday. Yaroslav Askarov going down and, you know, slipping as he goes out to get a puck and then scrambling back to the net to make a save. That was a big moment in the game, right? Like, those are the things that you pay attention to. Or Jeff Skinner loses his blade out there on the ice and has to shimmy his way off of the ice. You know, that was kind of funny, just watching him scurry off using one leg to propel himself off like a big oar. But those are things that give you a little bit of a laugh. Those are things that you can kind of smile about when you're not losing. But it just shows you that things do not always go to plan. You've got to be able to find ways. Guys are hustling. Guys are doing everything they can to try and give the Sharks a way to win. And, you know, that's why I look at Yaroslav Askarov and yesterday's performance is so big for San Jose, because he needed a performance like that. He needed to show that he was still the guy who had such a high ceiling when he was acquired in that trade, that he was the guy that we saw so many times last year for San Jose, be it the Sharks or the Barracuda. He'd had a rough start to the year, and he'd had some good performances, and he'd had some games where things had, you know, gone in that were not his fault. But, you know, yesterday, you know, the one goal goes in 30 seconds in. That's off a weird deflection off of his own D-man. And then he had the later goal where it was Skinner crashing into the net. You know, that's just a weird play, and that's not at all what you would expect on how the two goals are going to go in on the day. But, you know, if you get outshot like that by the Colorado Avalanche at this point in time, and you see them come in as, you know, arguably the best team in the NHL, and you only give up two goals in a very, very tight game of which they're severely outshooting you, yeah, that's a good performance from your goalie. And especially you're going up against a guy like Mackenzie Blackwood. Even though, yes, he was making his season debut yesterday, he still only gives up two goals to San Jose in regulation and made a number of big stops. You know, Mackenzie Blackwood knows how to get it done. We saw him have many, many incredible performances for the Sharks. I think about, you know, like 3 years ago and the performance that he had against Colorado to start things out. And that was game two of the season. And then we watched the way that he did it last year in New Jersey before the trade. You know, he has the ability to change things. And so, you know, watching Mackenzie Blackwood play that type of a game, he's not going to let much in. And the Sharks found a way to win. And that was a big, you know, game for Yaroslav Askarov as he's dueling with one of the best goalies in the NHL. goes toe-to-toe, and his team backs him up. You know, even after getting that goal going in 30 seconds into the game, then you've got an opportunity to let that get away from you. You don't. Askarov doesn't. The team doesn't. And they fight back in that first period with a goal from Macklin Celebrini. In fact, let's get into some of those highlights from yesterday's game. Like I said, it started with that goal 30 seconds in from Colorado.
Off the faceoff, Colorado keeps it in. Cale Makar is on the ice, exchanges with Devon Taves, feeds it over now to Natchez, turn, shoot, score! That was surgical! Taves and Makar playing catch with it. Makar throws to the left circle to the right-handed shooting Martin Natchez, and he beats Askarov down low. It is 1-0, Colorado 30 seconds in.
Yeah, that is a moment where you're thinking to yourself, uh-oh, is this game going to get away from San Jose? But fortunately, it did not. I thought from that point on, they really reset, gathered themselves, and fought back hard against Colorado. And eventually, those efforts were paid off by Macklin Celebrini, who came in with an absolute snipe of a goal late in the first period.
The Sharks will intercept and move behind their own goal with a minute 45 left in this first period. Mukhamadulin, nice lead pass to Toffoli down the right, across the line to Celebrini, moving in, shoot, score! Macklin Celebrini off a Tyler Toffoli pass. A brilliant wrist shot beats Blackwood, and the Sharks have tied the game 1-1 with 1:39 to go in the first period. And for Celebrini, he has a 7-game point scoring streak.
Let's go second period now. 1-1 game, 4 minutes in. Filip Kurashev, with his fourth of the year, gave San Jose a 2-1 lead.
Klingberg shovels it ahead. Patrick Giles knocked it out of the zone, and now the Sharks can make a quick change, but they better hurry up because Cale Makar's got it on his stick. His pass up the middle for Lehkonen, intercepted. DeLandry, lead pass, breakaway. Kurashev shoots, he scores! Filip Kurashev on a turnover by Colorado, goes into the zone, took the pass, and put it up top on Mackenzie Blackwood. Kurashev is red hot for San Jose with goals in three consecutive games. And the Sharks take the 2-1 lead in the second period.
We obviously know that Kurashev did end up with the game winner in overtime. He's had 4 goals in his last 3 games. And he was asked afterwards if this is the best hockey that he's played in his career.
Yeah, I think so for sure. I think we're all going as a line really well. And it's been a lot of fun the last couple of games. So I think we'll try to build on this.
And head coach Ryan Warsawski obviously had some very positive things to say after the game as well about Kurashev.
Our scouts did a really good job of targeting him, of a guy that, you know, we think there's more there than what he's probably shown in Chicago towards the end. And he's starting to get confident and obviously gets on the score sheet. But when he's competing and he's skating for pucks, he's a very effective player, and he's really solidified our top six. So that's just real nice to see.
They experimented with him on that top line with Macklin Celebrini for a bit, but it does feel like the chemistry between Eklund and Wenberg, as well as Kurashev, is working very, very well right now. So obviously keep these groupings together if they're working. And one thing that I'm noticing, though, is that, you know, Michael Misa is a guy who's going to dish, who's going to, you know, get guys in good positions and give them opportunities. And right now with that third line that he's on, I'm not sure he's surrounded by the right guys. And then I also look at Macklin Celebrini. You know, Will Smith is not the fastest skater in the world, and we know Tyler Toffoli is not the fastest skater on the world. And so we wonder, you know, do they need one guy next to Macklin Celebrini who's also fast? So even though I love these line combinations right now, you do see some of their, you know, relative weaknesses. The one that seems the most balanced is the Kurashev line right now with Wenberg as well as Eklund, because you've got speed, you've got defense, you've got ability all across the board. But those, you know, first and third lines, you do see a little bit of like, ooh, you know, maybe one of these wingers with Macklin needs a little bit of speed. And ooh, maybe, you know, one of the guys with Misa needs to be more of a natural scorer. But obviously, these are good problems to have. We're not talking about the Sharks being mired and losing left and right. This is fun to watch right now. These are the things that are fun to wonder about. And obviously, as long as you're winning, you don't want to tinker too much. Let's continue. A wild play with Jeff Skinner crashing into the net leads to a 2-2 tie from Colorado off the goal from Nathan MacKinnon.
2-1-1 developing. Trouble. Hedman. Breakaway. MacKinnon shoots. Block. Save. Nets off the mooring. No goal. MacKinnon is mad. He thinks that should be called a goal because the puck was going toward the net when the net was knocked off the mooring. And they are saying no goal.
After video review, the call on the ice is confirmed. The puck would have entered the net before the net got blown off. Therefore, we have a good goal.
So I could swear I've seen similar situations where that exact same play happened and it was declared no goal. And yes, I am talking about the defensive player going in without being pushed or interrupted. But you know what? We gain more clarity about so many rules in sports with every passing year, and the Sharks did walk away with a win. So I'm not going to be too upset. Let's hear some of those Askarov saves from the third period, though, because he was absolutely phenomenal, just making big stop after big stop.
Askarov knocked out of the net. He fell down, and Kelly, skating toward an open goal, fires it. It was poke-checked away by Askarov, and Kelly can't believe it. Askarov gets back in the net, makes a second save. Shades of Artur Zerbe here at SAP Center at San Jose. An acrobatic recovery by Yaroslav Askarov.
Yeah, that may have made your heart go skyrocketing into your throat if you were watching. That's actually something they asked head coach Ryan Horosofsky about when he was talking to us after the game. They said, what'd you think?
Not again. No, I mean, listen, stuff's going to happen. We want our goal is to come out and play pucks. And look, he took a heel pick. Stuff's going to happen. You know, and we just got to keep playing and keep competing. Our guys did a good job of that. Askey responded. He made, obviously, a big save on it. So, but yeah, you hold your breath for a quick second.
He's right. Things do happen. And right now, things happen to the San Jose Sharks. And thankfully, they were able to overcome adversity at various points of this game to walk away with the win. But let's get to the game winner, Philip Kurashev, the new Curry in the Bay Area, as I've been calling him. He gets San Jose the 2 points. And yet another win, 3 out of their last 4, 4 out of their last 7.
Dumped ahead by Colorado. Is this going to be icing? Nope, doesn't look like it. Back to get it now is Wennberg. He skates away from Natchez with speed. Lead pass Kurashev down the left. Cross the line, tees up, shoots. He scores! Philip Kurashev wins it in overtime for the San Jose Sharks. At 1:48, what a shot, what a game. For the second consecutive contest, the Sharks have defeated one of the best teams in the NHL. One is Philip Kurashev's day. Final score, Sharks 3, Avalanche 2 in overtime.
A phenomenal win for San Jose. That is a game that a year ago I do not think they win, and they found a way to win it. I talked with Ty DeLandry after the game. This is what he had to say.
All right, we've got Ty DeLandry after the Sharks. Very impressive 3-2 overtime win. Just, it's a run for you guys. You've won 4 out of 7 now. Is this more in line with what you had as an expectation when the season began?
I think so, yeah. I think everyone in this room, you know, expected more like this at the start of the season. You know, we got a good group, good balance in our lineup, and even the first 2 games of the season we were playing well, and I think that kind of shook us up a bit. So we're back in a rhythm now, and we're playing solid hockey.
You guys have also upped the physicality in the game out there, and I can see that a lot with your line. Is that something that you guys have just naturally evolved into, or is there more of an emphasis with that?
I think probably more of an emphasis and just something, you know, we wanted to get better at. We want to be hard to play against. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as a fourth line, go out there, create energy, and just keep them in their zone. You know, that's the best, you know, defense is offense. So,
how difficult was this game going down by a goal 30 seconds into it?
Yeah, we weren't ready to go off the hop. I think it was easy for you guys, fans, anybody to see that, you know, we weren't ready at the drop of the puck, but, I think that's maturity in our game in not blowing up and finding it and getting it back. So I'm proud of the group and how we got back tonight.
Tell me a little bit about the goal that you assisted on with Kurashev.
Yeah, it's all Kurash talking. You know, when you get a bobbling puck on the backhand, and most times than not, I'm chipping that in and getting on the forecheck. But he was talking, saying, you know, yelling in the middle. So that usually means he's open, and saw him, took a look, and passed it.
Watching his game evolve as of late, has it been fun to watch and see him scoring all these goals?
Yeah, great player. I think we saw it in training camp and whatnot, and as the team got off to a rocky start. But he's been playing at a high level, and that line's been doing an amazing job. He was great tonight, obviously, with 2 goals. I thought Wenny was just incredible going up against you know, the best player in the world every shift and shutting him down. So,
tell me about your goalie today. He made some huge stops.
He's great. Yeah, Askey was awesome. You can see his game really coming too. He's really taking a hold of these games and making the big saves for us. Really happy for him and the way he's playing.
No, it was fun to watch. And, you know, just this entire game and the last game, which was a win as well against New Jersey, the team defense has been better across the board. And, you know, I think going into these last 2 games, you guys were averaging about 3.5 per game, but suddenly it seems like there's just much more structure. Is that just you guys clamping down? Is it everybody understanding each other's game a little bit more now that you're 10 games plus into the season? What's the difference?
Yeah, I think it's just maturity in our D zone, you know, holding the panic a bit. And I think it's trust of the group, everyone trusting each other that, you know, they're going to do their job and be in the right spot.
Yeah, no, and that's what it looks like out there. And then, you know, you guys have a quick turnaround tomorrow, obviously, the back-to-back, but you get a little bit more rest to the 5 o'clock start. What's the important thing for you? Is it get a meal in, get some sleep? How do you do it?
Yeah, you know, that's the thing. It is a quick turnaround, but having the 1 o'clock game, easy to fall asleep tonight, so just get a good sleep and get ready to go back at it tomorrow.
Do you look at the fact that you guys have beat two really good teams back-to-back as anything in particular, or just like, you know what, that's on the schedule, we're, you know, barely out of October, don't read too much into it?
If I'm being honest, every night is a test. Every team can come out and play a really good hockey game in this league. And so, yeah, there's teams like that, Colorado, New Jersey, that do it more consistently and have that firepower. But, you know, that's the thing about this league is any night anyone can beat anyone.
Great win, man. Go get some rest. I'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's fun seeing these guys enjoying themselves and having fun, and that's what you want to have happen. You want to see these guys be able to enjoy their efforts, the hard work paying off. And a guy who's been working hard and his game's up with San Jose is Patrick Giles, who I also spoke with after yesterday's win.
We've got Patrick Giles after the Sharks' convincing 3-2 overtime win against the Avs here on a Saturday afternoon matinee. Obviously, man, you're just getting back to it. Your training camp was a little bit disrupted by an injury, but it looks like your game is rounded into form very nicely, rather quickly here. How are you feeling?
Good. It was frustrating not being able to do camp with the guys, but I was fortunate enough to be ready for night one with the Barracuda, and then being here now is great.
Yeah, take me through your reaction when you did find out you were going to be able to come up and play with the Sharks the last few days.
Yeah, I got the call from our coach, and, you know, he just said, keep doing what you're doing. You're not traveling with us because you're getting called up. And called my parents, who were fired up, and two games in, feeling really good.
Yeah, no, it's been fun to watch you. And obviously, you were brought in here because of your size, your speed, your physicality, and that's very clearly been on display out there. So what's been working for you?
I think our line did a good job tonight of just being simple, playing hard, getting the puck out of the zone. And then we also just played within our structure, get on faceoffs tonight, and just, again, just a simple game.
When the team ups the physicality in conjunction with you arriving, is it easy to say that, like, yeah, like, I'm going to use my size, or is like, no, it's more than that. It's everybody just wanting to go out there and bring that much more to the table.
Yeah, I think it took everyone these past two games, two really good teams that we played against, and came out on top in both. And that's just everyone playing the right way and kind of playing a little harder against those top teams.
Most definitely. And obviously this game, how did you guys not let yourselves get deflated when the goal goes in 30 seconds into the game?
Yeah, I mean, we know it's a long game, and those happen sometimes. So we just got a next shift mentality, and that's exactly what we did tonight.
Was it just calm on the bench, nobody rattled?
Yeah, I think if anything, it gave us a little more life, knowing we had to go out and get it.
And then being able to get the tie and then take control of the game, was there any sense of deflation again when they get that reviewed goal? That's maybe it's one of those rules that I'm not sure that I entirely understand, but suddenly it's a 2-2
game.
Yeah,
I'm not sure either, but regardless, we knew, again, we just had to go out and win the thing. And I thought we played smart defensively to force it to overtime, and then we got the win.
What did you think of Askarov today?
He was great. I mean, he was great last year when I was with him, and he was great tonight.
Has it been fun for you since you've come to San Jose? Obviously, you only got a taste there towards the end of last year, but, you know, obviously you got a run last year, and you've been playing with the Barracuda, obviously, and the Sharks. I mean, it seems like you're fitting in rather nicely with what this franchise is trying to do.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun, a lot of exciting players here, a lot of good stuff moving forward, so... Yeah, I'm very excited to be here.
Nice. And then quick turnaround for tomorrow, right?
Yeah. We're excited to sweep the weekend.
What's the plan? Just get a meal and get some sleep?
Yeah, go back, kick the feet up for sure, and get some food and be ready.
What's the post-game meal for you?
With the game tomorrow, I'll be doing chicken and pasta for
sure.
Nice.
All right, man, well, I'll let you go. Congrats on the win. We'll see you tomorrow.
Awesome. Thank you.
Fun talking to those guys after the win yesterday. They were in a good mood. They know they had to get their rest in and their meals. I always like hearing about what these guys eat after a game, especially if there's a victory meal, if there's anything like that. But Giles with his pasta and chicken, I was like, yeah, I can get down with that. I could go and eat a bunch of pasta and chicken right now. But the San Jose Sharks are back at it today. 4:30 pregame, 5 o'clock go time as they play host to the Detroit Red Wings. Scott Hannon is going to be on the call with Dan Rusinowski right here on the Sharks Audio Network. I will be on NBC with Alan Hoshida if you want to check that out. But we are all out of time. Look at this. The San Jose Sharks on a 2-game win streak. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yen.
Now the right, across the line. Getting on Smith, throwing it toward the net. Great save by Askarov. A tremendous stop by Askarov against Nichushkin in overtime as he stayed with it, moved to the right side of the goalpost, and stopped the deep that Nichushkin tried to throw at him. 45 seconds into overtime.